Hi, my name is Shadi and you are welcome to the 2016 podcast. Today's 2016 podcast is going to be something new, different, and something you've never heard before. Rewind to 11th of June 2020. I started this podcast and it was so mind-blowing and mind-changing and everything. So today you're going to be listening to an interview I had with Dayo sometime in 2021, and I couldn't release it then, but I'm releasing it now to mark our 2 years anniversary, not just alone but with every single person that has supported me one way or another. Mind you that this audio is so not clear because it's, I know I said I did it with Dayo, but like you could also hear the Lagos traffic and you could also hear my siblings being annoying as usual with their whole side conversations and bands. But I do hope that you enjoyed today's episode and it's more like you getting to know me and getting to know Shadi. And you know, let's start.
Hey guys, my name is Dayo Moyo and you are welcome to the 2016 podcast and I'm your host for today. You heard that right. Shade is on the hot seat. I would be asking her the questions you've been longing to ask her. Trust me for that. How are you today, Shade?
I'm very fine. I'm so tired, but like I'm very fine because I've had a whole lot to do during the week, but like I'm fine. I'm okay. I've rested well. So I don't know what Dayo has for me, but let's see. Guys, get ready to be surprised.
Yes, thank God it's Friday. I think you would have a lot of time to hopefully, I said hopefully deliberately, hopefully rest.
Definitely. Hopefully
that is it. There's no 01B on Saturday anyways.
Oh my shit, tomorrow is 12th now. So like there's this protest thing they're organizing. So right. Oh, they might have to wait.
So how are you? How is everything today?
Everything is fine. Today is 11th of June. And apparently 11th of June 2020 was when I started my podcast. So
wow,
it's like 1 year for me right now. So like that's really good. I feel really, really happy. I mean, I was on my bed and I was just going through my podcast and I was like, I'm happy. So it's fine. It's good.
Yeah, it's something to be happy about. It's not easy, to say the least. It takes
exactly.
To do this thing. Right, you can guess my first question. I don't know if you can guess it, but my first question is, why 2016 podcast? Why that name? Did you just wake up one morning and like 2016 it is? Tell me.
No. Okay, 2016 was like a turnaround year for me. It was, I'm going to say a year of self-actualization for me because I graduated high school in 2014. So I had like a 2 year wait period at home where I was feeling jammed. If I was not feeling jammed, I was feeling wired. So it was really hectic for me. So I had that 2 year wait period. And so when I got into uni at 2016 and I'm like, this is when I realized who I am. This is when I realized what I can take, what I can't take. And I think that was the year I really started getting to have a very wild understanding of being matured and being equipped. So I was like, you know what, let me just stick with the title, the 2016. So I just chose the 2016 podcast because I was trying to look for something very, very wild or something very creative and something very out there. But literally nothing came to my mind, nothing. And it was only 2016. So I just picked the 2016 podcast as the name.
That was a good story. I really like that story. I never knew that was the reason. I just kept thinking, why 2016? It's not the year she started the podcast. She couldn't be born in 2016. There's no how on earth. What is on my screen, actually, the name on my screen, actually, is Chidera Umba. And then anytime you kind of host your podcast, I thought I'm talking with Shade. Is there some misconception? Is it a Zoom thing? I need to get that out of my mind right now.
Okay, actually, my name is Mba Chidera Fola Shade. Okay, so, and I know you might be thinking, oh, maybe her mom sees you, but her pop sees Igbo, or the other way around. I know they're both Igbos. I'm from Enugu State. I'm like fully Igbo. But I think it was a thing with my dad. He wanted us to have like Yoruba names because we were born in Lagos. We were mostly surrounded by Yoruba people. So I felt like I think he just really embraced the culture. He really liked the culture. And he was like, you know what, I'm just going to give my kids Yoruba names and let's see how it goes. So that was how it was. And all through growing up in primary school, secondary school, I always had somebody named Chidera. So it was always a conflict like, oh, are they calling me? Are they calling the other person? So I just had to switch to Shadi because most, like, I've not really been in a situation whereby there are two Shadis in a place. So I just had to roll with Shadi. And so Shadi stuck with me. So whenever you see me outside and you're like, oh, what's your name? I'm like, oh, my name is Shadi. And you're like, oh, are you from Lagos? I'm like, no, I'm from Enugu. So then that's the whole confusion comes up again. But I'm purely Igbo. Okay. Well, I just stuck with the name Shadi because it was more like removing me from the whole, are you calling me? Are you not calling me? Is it me? Are you using me? Like, so I didn't want that whole stress. So I just stuck with Shadi.
Yeah, that's interesting. Dad, does he speak Yoruba and do you speak the language?
My dad, well, yeah, he does speak Yoruba, but like, no, he's not fluent.
Right.
I understand Yoruba to a certain level, but I'm not fluent. So if you're trying to have a conversation with me in Yoruba, you failed because right. I'm not even going to engage in that conversation, but I understand to a certain level, yes.
But are you thinking what I'm thinking? Probably this like a foretell of things to come.
What are you thinking?
you get my point, but
you have to tell me, guy. Like, you really have to tell me right now.
Right, I was just kidding anyway. Now let's go back. I was childhood like, you seem to be from a very interesting family, considering the fact that not many people would name their children whatsoever, even though they were born in Osun State or even Oyo State, where Yoruba is said to originate from. But just tell me about how growing up, like your family and that kind of thing.
Okay, growing up for me was, I'd say it was real tight because I came from a place with strict parents. Mom was strict, dad was strict. I think it was just until I got into like my secondary school that mom's started loosening up a bit, but pops is still like strict. So I came from a strict place. You know, church was compulsory, definitely. You really didn't have a say like that. So I came from a place trying to understand that, okay, well, you know, I came from a place trying to cope, trying to blend in, I think that's one thing about me now. That's why it's a part of me. Wherever I go to, I just try to blend in whatever is going on. And I know at times it's wrong, but like that's just how, because that's how I grew up. I grew up having a whole lot of imaginations, a whole lot of things I wanted to do, a whole lot of things I wanted to be. And well, growing up for me was not, it wasn't like bad. It wasn't like I have horrible experiences. It wasn't like I have traumatic, it's not like I have traumatic experiences. But I'll just say that it came, because I was from a strict home, it's kind of, it's shaping me in a way, it's molds me in a way that I don't, even up to now, I don't really like it. But, you know, it takes a while to get out of something that's a norm for you. But generally, growing up for me was just okay. Just that I had strict parents growing up, but it was okay for me generally. No traumatic experience.
Right, but what
I was a baby girl.
Yeah, but what kind of side were you? Were you someone who was kind of, okay, I'm going to play along, or you were someone who would like to, for lack of a better word, rebel? And I don't mean rebel in a bad, bad way. I just mean like rebel in terms of you want to go and do something that is not according to the norm. And then you always put head with mom and dad again and again. What kind of child were you?
Oh, yeah, okay, I understand. Okay, I personally, I feel like I was both. During my primary school days, I was just, you know, go along with whatever happened. But once I got into secondary school, you know, at that point, you're exposed to different kind of things. You're exposed to basically different kind of lifestyles. So I'll say once in a while, yes, mostly during my secondary school days, I was a rebel because I just felt like, I don't know why my friends should be enjoying this kind of liberty and I'm going through this kind of chain or prisonhood and everything. But once in a while, I did rebel. And I think it has helped me in a way. I don't know why I would say that, but it has helped me in a way being a rebel because most times now, I've learned to like take my own stand, you know, do my own thing, It's very, very, to them, it's very, very disrespectful. But I felt like, I can't continue just fully, I can't continue to follow your rules and your regulations. I mean, there should be a place for me to take my own decisions. So, yes, I was a little rebel, but like not like, you know, all up in their business. Not like every single time they would be family meeting over my head or something like that. But yes, I rebelled once in a while, a whole lot of times though. But it was, and most likely didn't catch me. You understand?
Right.
You know, you have to use sense. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm going to school, but I'll go to like another place and come back. I'll try and come back early. I'll just change up to my uniform on my way back. So it was just a whole lot of, you know, bad girl things here, bad girl things there. But I was all coded, so I was never caught.
Do you think you would be a strict parent?
No, I will not.
I also, like,
I mean, sometimes, and I think it's very...
it's kind of crazy because you think like, oh, I had strict parents, I'm going to be very kind of... And you turn out like, oh. But
yeah,
you think...
I totally understand what you're saying.
So what's your thought about that?
I don't think I will be... Okay, the thing is, I've noticed this thing about people. You know, we always say, I won't be like this. But when we are put in that position, we start seeing ourselves being like our parents, low-key. Like, there are some times I'm meant to do certain things, and I'm like... I start seeing that I notice that I'm taking decisions the same way my parents would take decisions. Do you understand? But I think it comes with a whole lot of preparation and, you know, opening your mind. Definitely was like, it cannot be that bad. Do you understand? I'm definitely not going to be straight because the world has changed. The world is no longer what we used to have back then. Do you understand? Definitely I'm going to marry somebody different, someone so totally different from my dad. So I'm not like some daddy issue girl that I'm going to be looking for the same person as like my dad or something like that. So I'm going to definitely marry someone totally different from my dad. And I feel like whenever I'm coming short or whenever I'm trying to become more like my parents, it's going to like shaping me. Because I feel like being a parent is not a one-way thing. I mean, except you're a single parent, but like it's not a one-way thing if you still have both parents alive or both parents present. So one should be, my mom will always say two parents can't be the same. One has to be strict, one has to be really, really nice and everything. So I really do hope that I'm not the strict one, but I'm not going to be strict. They're going to have a whole lot of freedom. They're going to do a whole lot of things they want to do. And I feel like that whole place where parents come in to say, this is what you should study, I'm definitely not going to do that because I don't have stress for that. Do what you want to do. Do you understand? If I can afford to pay for it, sure, I'll pay for it. If I feel like, oh, I don't want you to do this, I'll definitely let you know, but I'm not going to force it on you that no, you must be a doctor, no, you must be a lawyer, because anybody can excel in anything as long as they put their minds to it. So I'm going to totally support them, but I'm definitely going to like discipline them, train them properly, and put in my all and all to ensure that they come out way better, like way better than me, definitely.
I love when you said that I don't even have the strength for it, like they are there are better things to do. Right, but do you have a picture of who your ideal would be in terms of a life partner?
Oh, my God. Wow.
Is it me placing you on the spot already?
Yes, because now I really have to think. Definitely there's always an ideal person. But I don't know, I just feel like just support, you know, just be there. I don't know. I just feel like someone that's just going to be there. I don't need any extra. I mean, those extras are important. Extras like money, you know, finance, height, and all those weird things. But like just support. Like as long as you're there, I think I'll be fine with it.
Right.
Just be there. Just be supportive.
Right. So anybody that is listening, audience, you've heard it from the Aussie's mouth. Just be there. Now let's talk about your academics. How was academics for you, school, transitioning from secondary school to the tertiary institution?
Transitioning was okay. It was fine. No, it wasn't fine. Because like I told you earlier, I had to stay like 2 years at home. And during those 2 years, I dealt with like a whole lot of depression because it was really painful, you know, seeing you and your guys that were like just playing in secondary school. Most of them were already in year one. You didn't even know where you were. Some of them were not in year two. You still didn't know where you were. And the very painful thing was like most of them were going to, like a whole lot of them were definitely going to graduate before I did. And another thing is that most of them went to private schools, so like their graduation was sure and everything. So it was really, really, I dealt with like a whole lot of depression for those 2 years. I dealt with like, I don't know, it just came to the point where I'm like, you know what, if I end this thing here now, like, it's not bad. Because at that point, I wasn't even talking to, I wasn't talking to people like I used to. So everything was just very, very different. But once I got into school, it was, I don't know, it was better. But then I was kind of like, really, I was still kind of in a show because I felt like, these people are not, like, I'm not even meant to be with them at that moment. But, like, transitioning to school for me was okay. It was very nice. I learned a whole lot once I entered uni. I learned to respect myself a whole lot. Do you understand? And me respecting myself meant that I didn't make a whole lot of friends in uni. But the very few ones I made, they, like, stuck around and they are still around. But education-wise for me, it was good. Definitely, as the students, you hate most of your lecturers, so that's fine for me. Nice. I didn't really like a whole lot of my lecturers and everything, but it was good for me. I mean, I felt like I just want to get to school, come out, and, you know, be who I want to be, basically.
Yeah, but do you think you are really, are you someone who is really hard on yourself? Like, you kind of set a very high standard for yourself and try to, because the reason why I asked that question is that you mentioned that, I was thinking like when you say that, oh, I spent 2 years before gaining admission and now I gained admission, like, oh, I was offline. But you made a statement that make me feel like, are you someone who is really hard on yourself, if you know what I mean by that?
Yes, I am really, really hard on myself. I'm very, very hard on myself. Okay, like I told you earlier, I'm from a strict family, like my parents were both strict. And it was like, you know, one thing coming from strict parents is they are quick to point out your faults.
Right.
So it makes you aware of your mistakes. It keeps on making, like, I know how many times I heard my dad talk to me when I failed my YEC, when I failed my JAMB. So, like, when I went through them JAMB and YEC the second time and I failed again, it was like, I was really, really putting myself down. I made myself feel very, very, very worthless. I made myself feel like I didn't have value in any way. So even up to today, but it's not like, it's not as bad as it was then. I'm very hard on myself even up to today, but it's not as worse as it was. It's not as bad as it was then. So it's something I'm trying to understand, something I'm trying to get rid of. I'm trying to just let myself understand that, see, life is in phases and everything. Things happen at a certain time and in a certain way. So if I can only like the process, love the process, and appreciate the process, then it's better that way. But yes, I'm very hard on myself, yes.
Right. I listened to a number of your podcasts, which were beautiful. And
okay.
I must say, I love the way you laugh. But that's like an aside. All right. Well, I listened to it and you mentioned that you are someone who is very emotional. Now, I'm thinking in my head, going through something like that in terms of, I'm presuming you are still very young. How were you able to deal with the failure? And did you think you ever came out of it in any way? And then there was one day you just kind of saw the light and like, wow, bravo. What was that journey like for you?
Okay. Yes, I'm definitely emotional. Little things turn me off. Did I ever see the light? I don't know. I think for me, I'm still in my transition stage. I feel like I have not totally outgrown certain things. Have I seen the light? Maybe I have. But because I'm too hard on myself, I refuse to admit that I have seen the light. Nice. But, you know, I think with time, I would totally understand every single thing that has played out for me in life. I would really understand. Okay, because if you're going to ask me if I've seen the light, yes, I was home for 2 years and I got into school. So maybe that might be the light for me. But there's no doubt that after some time, I felt like, oh, being in school now, so what's the big deal?
Right.
Do you understand? Like there were times I was now even downplaying the whole getting into school. Okay, what's the deceiver? I stayed at home, this one, that one. So I don't know about, I'm just going to put myself in a place where I'm going to say, I'm still trying to discover myself and try to understand exactly what I'm going through, how I've been able to handle things, you know, all my decisions in life, how they played out for me. So for now, I might be unable to give you like a definite answer as to if I've seen the light. But I can just tell you that I'm growing, I'm learning, and I'm loving the process, every process of it.
Yeah, that was a very good answer. Now, talk to me, what was the dream for you in terms of career and how did it play out?
My dream in terms of career, I've always been, I don't know, for me personally, I've not really had that one career I want to do. When I was young, definitely, I don't know if anybody had that sleep, but like, I wanted to be a doctor. Everybody wanted to be a doctor, low key. So I wanted to be a doctor. As I was growing up, I wanted to be an actress. And as I was growing up, I wanted to be an economist. And as I was still growing up, I want to be a media person. I want to be an on-air personality. But right now, the stage I am in, I'm between being a media personality and an economist. So I've actually had my thought process whereby I want to further my education in economics. I know where that lands me, like get master's degree and all those other weird degrees that people get. But for now, career-wise, I don't know. I think at the point I am right now, I just want to be a media personality. There was a time I wanted to be a customer service agent, and I got a job in a customer service as a customer service representative, and I hated it. Do you understand? And I think I stayed in the job for like 3 months and I left because I was like, nah, this was just a phase. I don't want the game.
Right.
So bye-bye. Yeah, so but that's how it's. But for now, it's media personality and a finance somebody. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. But are you currently in school or you're out of?
Oh, no, I'm done. I finished last year.
All right. What did you study?
Economics.
All right, makes sense. Now, let's talk about podcasting. Why did you start your podcast?
Why did I start? Okay. I said earlier that I wanted to be a media personality. I wanted to be somebody in the media one way or another. And I felt like, because at that point, nothing was coming forth. You know, it was very difficult to tried to get on any radio station was, I don't know, I didn't even, at that point, I didn't even know how to apply to radio stations. So someone was like, you know what, you can just start a podcast. And if that is really going well for you, you never can tell, maybe radio stations will notice you and stuff like that. So I started a podcast. But now that I have started it, for me, a podcast is just a way to air my opinions because I really love talking. And I feel like it's not every time I want to talk that somebody will be there to listen. So there are some episodes that I recorded because I just wanted to talk and there was nobody to listen at that moment. So I just said, oh, let somebody else hear this. You know, somebody that I don't know, somebody that doesn't really know me, let them listen to what I have to say. So it's just a way of me airing my opinions and letting people know how I feel at that moment or what I'm thinking about at that moment. That's why I try to make my episodes a little bit relatable. I try to make it sound or seem like I'm talking to a friend, like a chit chat. I don't want it to be so professional and so uptight and all those other blah, blah, blah. So for me, starting a podcast was for me to look for how to communicate with people that I might not know, but like, you know, I just want you to have my opinions, my mindset, I know what I'm thinking about, basically.
It makes sense. And I must say that as I listened to your podcast episode, I discovered that relatability that you talked about. The fact that you were kind of open to being vulnerable and discussing past events in your life and current events in your life as you see it. And probably it seems to me as you felt it. Now, there's this episode I would like us to talk about. I can't remember the name of the episode right now because I'm not with your phone, but I think you mentioned something about someone who promised you marriage. What was the name of that episode? What was the title again? Goodness, can you remember?
The title of the episode is actually Story Time with Shadi, how he promised me marriage.
Right, that's it. And I know that your audience would put me on the spot and give me a firing squad if I don't ask that question about that episode. Now, let me know. I don't know. How do I ask this question? I'm thinking whether to ask from the beginning or ask from the end. I know you talked about the beginning in the podcast, so I don't want you to kind of repeat yourself. But I want to talk about the end. I know you mentioned that you kind of cut it off, but how hard is it to actually cut someone off? Someone who probably has been intertwined with the fiber of your emotion. Is it that easy for you?
No, it's very difficult for me. Remember when you asked me how about me being emotional, and I said I'm very emotional. I'm the kind of person that once I let you in my life, like, guy, you're not going anywhere. And when you now finally want to leave, it's very, very difficult for me to actually let people go. So, you know, definitely once in a while, I'll think about it. It will cross my mind. Or, it is what it is. He's married. I'm not. I'm on my bed recording this podcast with you. So it is what it is. So I think it's very difficult for me to let people go. But I'm trying to really understand that people are different and people outgrow things. So I felt like, okay, he has outgrown me. Do you understand? He was looking for something bigger, sweeter. I don't know what that means, but I hope we found it.
You're being hard on yourself again.
Oh, you see, like, that's just me. It's a process. Like I told you, I'm going to try to correct every single thing.
So yeah, but I also guess that maybe, I don't know, maybe in life there are some things we can't actually correct. Some things that are, that is just me. Nobody, no two people are ever the same. And I think like that is what makes us human. The fact that we are different in our different ways. But what we need to do is to work on our strength and try to make sure that our weaknesses are not as bad as they used to be. That process you've been talking about, working on it to make us better people, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. Like, definitely, no two humans are the same. We all have our own weaknesses, we all have our own strengths and everything, like, just like what you said, exactly what you said. So, the plan is to ensure that your whole weaknesses are, like, you know, there's a reason it's called, like, there's a reason it's termed weaknesses. It's something that brings you down, something that's, and I personally feel like it should be something that is totally also very weak. Do you understand? Yeah. I feel like your strengths should be able to overpower them. Like, if I'm going to say I'm too hard on myself, then maybe a strength should be, I know how to bring myself out of these positive affirmations, reminding myself of how far I've come and everything like that. So it's really a process. I totally agree with you. My weaknesses shouldn't, it's not like I'm trying to totally change myself. I'm just trying to put myself in the position whereby if today somebody wakes up and is like, oh, Shadi, you and I can't be guys anymore. I'd be like, that's cool. I totally understand life. And I totally understand that you want to go. So I wish you the best. But, you know, on a few occasions, actually, I've had people leave my life and the deepest part of my heart, I wish them the best. So that's like a whole lot of another thing. But yes, it's a process and I'm getting there. So hopefully my strengths will be bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So yes.
Considering the kind of family you're from, strict family, did your parents ever add an hint of all that went on?
No. No, at all. I also have people listening. Yes, definitely. Definitely. You know, one thing about coming from a strict place is after some time, you try to stop being on your parents' terms. You just form this certain bond around your siblings. No, okay, like I said earlier also that, you know, it was when I got to like secondary school that my parents started being easy on us and everything. But we cannot erase the fact that growing up, we had that strictness in us. So what I had to start doing, I had to start confiding in my siblings. My parents do not know. Like, I can literally tell you that they don't know a single thing about me. All right? I'm so sure about that. But my siblings definitely know. Because at the point, you know, they're the ones that you turn to when they shout at me or when my parents are pissed at me. They're the ones I turn to find that comfort, that love and everything. So definitely they know every single thing about me. And the small ones small secrets I'll be telling them to, they know this one. So I think at a point, coming from a strict home, you find love, you find that parental love in your siblings. Though it's a little bit wrong, but it is what it is.
Right. Now, after that scenario, have you opened yourself to having another person in your life in terms of relationship?
Oh, yes, I have. I opened myself like twice, three times, four times. I'm very open, you know, after some time when it has gone, I'm the kind of person that I really, really get attracted to people easily. And if it's staying for like, the attraction is around for a long time, I'll just go with it. I'm the kind of person, I love going with exactly what I feel at that moment. So yes, currently I'm in a relationship and I really, really love the person I'm with. You know, hopefully it gets to something better. And because he's very supportive, he's like straight up supportive. So it won't be bad if he needs to marriage something. So yes.
Right. I never even knew that before. I was thinking might think about the Sade something. But anyway, we'll see how it turns out. Right. Now, let's wrap this up. Congratulations once again for 1 year of podcasting. I know that it's really a milestone. I've been doing this also for a while. I hope that you get money out of this. You get influence out of this. You build something really big out of this.
So as per podcasting, what's the dream for you? What's the big dream?
I want to work in a radio station, but that's still not going to reduce my time with my podcast, because my podcast now, I literally took my podcast as my baby. So the dream for me after podcasting or with this podcasting is to get on a larger scale, because I feel like, you know, there's only a little that podcasting can do. Before you know it, you're probably on radio. Before you know it, you're probably on news. Before you know it, you're probably on a larger platform. With this podcast, and trust me, I'll feel very, very satisfied. And I think that's where my occupational satisfaction will come from, when I'm on a larger scale in a media platform, whether it's acting, whether it's radio presentations, whether it's, you know, just being out there, letting people know that, you know, we're here for you.
Right.
People are like you. The other people like you.
Right. Now, before I let you go today,
right,
I want to know, it's like the theme of your podcast title, they are kind of, I don't want to say they are similar. Like, I can guess, like, if I see a title, I'm like, oh, this is from 2016 podcast. How do you come up with your topics? Is it how you're feeling for that day or for that week? Or do you have a list of topics you must, like, you already have in a bank or something that you hope to record in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks time? How is that process for you?
You actually said in a bank. But yes, because I won't say I'm always thinking about things, but I'm the kind of person that I can just be going through something and I'll just pen it down. So there are a whole lot of times that I write down potential topics. I always write down potential topics. But then when I'm constructing it, like bringing out the timeline, what will I say, how will I approach it, the topic changes, like the way I construct the topic would change. Like for the one about death, the topic had to change. Like, it wasn't death that was like the actual topic. I've forgotten the actual topic, but then I felt like, oh, let me put it this way. The one for how he promised me marriage, that was not meant to be the actual topic, but that was like after outlining what I was going to say, that was the only topic I could come up with. That was like the constructive way. But most times I pen down all my topic ideas, and sometimes there are a whole lot of topic ideas I've penned down and I've never gone forward with them because I felt like I was feeling it at that moment, but now I'm no longer feeling it. So before I even get out a podcast, what I do is I randomly talk about it to myself. I don't record it. And if I find that interesting, like if I'm finding myself very interesting, I'll record it as a podcast. So there are a whole lot of topic ideas I've never gone for. There are a whole lot of crap that I've canceled because I'm like, nah, this does not make sense. Maybe in another time, space, and dimension to like make mad sense. But for now, I had to cancel them. But yes, I penned down all my topic ideas and I'm like, that's what I work with.
Right, makes sense. Now, what are your final thoughts for your audience? What would you like to say to them in as many minutes as you would like? It's your podcast.
All right. So to everyone that listens to the 2016 podcast or supports me in any way, I really do appreciate it. Because I'm not going to lie, there are some days I'm on my bed And I have two options, either record a podcast or be lazy. And I'll choose be lazy. But sometimes I get on online and I'm like, oh, when are you going to get a new podcast out? Or have you recorded anything for us? So to be fair and to be sincere, like people that listen to my podcast literally push me to record my podcast. So I'm very, very grateful for that. I really do hope that I keep on giving you guys amazing content, because like that's key. I really do hope that, I keep on being the Shade that I can be to you guys. And I really do hope that you guys keep on loving me and supporting me in literally any way that you can. Yes, that's right. It, basically.
Makes sense. What the way to wrap it up. Like, I started this podcast saying, my name is Dayo Moyo. Welcome to 2016 Podcast. I'm not the host of 2016 Podcast. Shade is the host. I am the host of This is the Future. And it's a very great... I do not take this for granted. I really appreciate you for giving me the opportunity to have a taste of hosting 2016 Podcast, even if it's for how many minutes? 41 minutes. It means the whole world to me. Thank you very much, Shade.
Thank you very
much. Really, really appreciate you for this. And love what
you
do.
Thank you very much.